Is the Trinity doctrine biblical? Christians have debated this issue for at least 1,700 years. While most accept it, some still question it. Marvin Moore's article, The Trinity Doctrine, Is It Biblical?, originally appeared in the November 2021 edition of Signs of the Times. Your narrator is Joshua Kittleson, and I'm the Assistant Director for Member Services and Studio at Christian Record Services for the Blind. Some time ago, a reader of Signs of the Times wrote and asked us why Seventh-day Adventists believe in the doctrine of the Trinity, which he said is about as pagan as Nimrod's Christmas tree or the Aztec's totem pole. In this article, I will share with you my response. I'll begin by defining the word Trinity. It's the Christian teaching that God is one in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Of course, all informed Christians will tell you that the word Trinity is not found in the Bible. However, Christians have given names to other doctrines that do not appear in the Bible, including the millennium, 1,000 years, and the incarnation, Christ, a divine being, taken on human nature. Similarly, the word Trinity expresses what many Christians, including most Seventh-day Adventists, believe to be a correct teaching of the Bible. However, my purpose in this response is neither so much to prove that the Trinitarian doctrine is true nor to persuade you to believe it. Primarily, I want to give you the biblical evidence Trinitarians cite for this teaching. One of the most famous verses in the Old Testament clearly affirms that God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. How then can New Testament Christians say that God is three? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It doesn't seem like both could be true. Let me ask you three questions. First, is a clover leaf one leaf or three? It's both, of course. The one leaf has three parts. Similarly, the one God is also three. Second question, are husband and wife one person or two? They are two, of course, yet the Bible proclaims them to be one flesh, Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Their oneness is not mathematical, but rather a oneness of spirit and purpose. And third, shortly before his death, Jesus prayed to his Father that his disciples may be one as we are one. John chapter 17, verse 11. But Jesus had 12 disciples. How could he pray that they all be one? Because their oneness was spiritual, not mathematical. Jesus went on to compare the oneness of his disciples to the oneness that exists between the Father and himself. That they may be one as we are one is the same with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Their oneness is spiritual, not physical. The next basic question about the Trinity is whether Jesus and the Holy Spirit are separate persons from the Father and equal with him as deity. Let's begin with Jesus. There can be no question that he is a separate person from the Father. While Jesus was on earth, he continually prayed to his Father as a separate person from himself. He always spoke to others about his Father as a separate person. Is Jesus divine then? Those who reject the doctrine of the Trinity either deny that Jesus Christ is divine, or, if he is divine, they believe his divinity is of a lower order than the Father's. However, there is significant evidence in the New Testament that Jesus is a fully divine being. Following is some of the primary evidence that Trinitarians offer in support of the full deity of Jesus Christ. In one of his temple disclosures, Jesus said, "Before Abraham was born, I am." John chapter 8, verse 58. The Bible says that at this they, the people listening to him, picked up stones to stone him, verse 59. When Moses asked God how he should identify him to the Israelites enslaved in Egypt, God told Moses to call him I Am, Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. The Jews considered it blasphemy, a crime punishable by death, for a human being to claim to be God, which is why they started to stone Jesus when he spoke of himself as I Am. On another occasion, the Jews tried to stone Jesus, and when he asked them why, they said, "Because you, a mere man, claimed to be God." John chapter 10, verse 33. It's very significant that Jesus did not deny the charge. Consider the following biblical evidence of Jesus' divinity. He raised people from the dead, which only God can do, John chapter 11, verses 43 and 44. He claimed to have life in himself, which only God has. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. He created all things, which only God can do. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. He sustains the entire universe by his power, which only God can do. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. He has existed from eternity and is self-existent, which are the qualities of deity alone. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Numerous texts about God in the Old Testament are applied to Jesus in the New Testament. Psalms chapter 68, verse 18, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, Psalms chapter 102, verses 25 through 27, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, and John chapter 1, verse 23. In several places, the New Testament calls Jesus God. John chapter 1, verse 1, 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, Titus chapter 2, verse 13. What about the Holy Spirit? Most Christians accept the idea that the Spirit is divine. The question is whether the Spirit is merely a manifestation or attribute of God the Father, or a separate person from the Father. Jesus consistently spoke of the Spirit as a person in his own right. In John chapters 14 to 16, he repeatedly refers to himself, the Father, and the Spirit as separate persons. For example, he said to his disciples, "I, Jesus, will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. The Bible also speaks of the Spirit acting in his own right and not merely as an attribute of the Father. For example, Jesus said that the Spirit convicts people, guides them, and speaks to them. John chapter 16, verses 18 and 13. And Paul said that the Spirit intercedes on our behalf with God. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 27. If the Spirit is merely an attribute or manifestation of the Father, that would mean the Father intercedes with himself? The Spirit also has the primary attributes of God. He is eternal. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. He is everywhere present. He dwells in every believer. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. He knows all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. The Holy Spirit inspired the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. He can be blasphemed. Mark chapter 3, verses 28 and 29. So there is significant biblical evidence that the Spirit is as much a divine person as are the Father and the Son. Several places in the New Testament speak of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit separately. I will mention three. I've already called attention to John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, which records Jesus' statement, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." Second, all three persons of the Trinity were present at Jesus' baptism. Obviously, Jesus was there since he was the one baptized. The Father said, "This is my Son, whom I love." And the Spirit descended on Jesus in the form of a dove. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And third, the baptismal formula of the Great Commission mentions the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. There is also significant Old Testament evidence for the Trinity. One of the Hebrew names for God is Elohim, which is plural. In the creation story, God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Notice that God refers to himself in the plural with the pronouns us and our. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, which for 2,000 years Christians have considered to be a messianic prophecy, attributes to Jesus Christ the names Mighty God and Everlasting Father. These are obviously titles of deity in the fullest sense of the word. My primary purpose in this article has been to provide the biblical evidence on which Trinitarians base their understanding of God. The evidence I have provided makes it clear that whether you agree with the doctrine of the Trinity or not, it has a strong biblical basis. It did not arise out of paganism.